This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Snap to Hodges. Here comes the pressure. Hodges going to get dropped. Trent Murphy brings him down back at the 23-yard line. They sack him. They sack him for a loss of 9. Just exactly what the Buffalo Bills needed there.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
In fact, 4 interceptions of the opposing quarterback in hostile territory is exactly what the Buffalo Bills needed. John Murphy with the call of Sunday Night Football on the Bills Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Buffalo becomes the 8th team into the playoffs. Second time this century. Really impressive for Sean McDermott and for Buffalo. It can be hit or miss on offense, but man, that defense is tough. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Chris Adamski, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. This game certainly started and finished with defense, Chris. What was the difference in the middle as the Bills came away with a win?
Well, it's famously around here anyway in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin said when he first gave Duck Hodges the job was he didn't kill us. That's kind of like when the quote sort of a backslapping compliment that way. Whatever, you know, for Devlin Hodges that was his greatest attribute, and that certainly did not happen today. He fumbled once, and they didn't lose the fumble, but that was another opportunity for a turnover. The 4 interceptions, and a couple of them were at the very end there, and I don't want to kill him for those two because they were sort of desperation plays, trying to get his receiver to make a play to tie the game there at the very end. But, you know, when you have those 5 turnovers, there was a shanked punt that led to the first Buffalo touchdown. There were some, untimely penalties by the Steelers too, and you know the Steelers. It's pretty remarkable they got to 8-5, and they're still even with this loss in a playoff spot. But without not only Ben Roethlisberger, but they're down a lot of other pieces on offense. No Juju Smith-Schuster. They've lost Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. So to get to this point, they've had to have a lot of things. They have to play pretty perfect games on defense and not turn the ball over at least on offense. Because even at their best, they're not scoring a lot of points. So that kind of all crashed down on them here and tonight against Buffalo, and you see the result.
Why Devlin Hodges over Mason Rudolph? What does Duck do differently or better?
Well, I do think there's sort of an intangible that the team sort of is. You know, Devlin's he's a fun guy. You know, he definitely has a personality. Like, he has nothing to lose. I mean, he's certainly on house money. I mean, this guy wasn't even just an undrafted. Not only was he from, you know, FCS ball, not only was he undrafted, he wasn't even signed after the draft. Mm-hmm. He had to come to the Steelers on a tryout. I mean, this is pretty unprecedented for him to win 3 games, his first 3 starts under those circumstances. I mean, you know, scouts make mistakes all the time, team make mistakes, and that's fine. I mean, Tony Romo was a 1AA quarterback who was undrafted, but he was, you know, Devlin Hodges wasn't even signed, and he had to make the tryout at rookie camp a couple weeks later. So, you know, I think, you know, the Steelers had long, you know, once they lost Ben Roethlisberger this season, they knew what they had to do to win games, the only way they could win games. And this offense has really been hamstrung here, but they've won 7 out of 8 until tonight. And I believe it's 12 offensive touchdowns now in their past 9 games. But there they are in the playoffs. So, you know, anyway, so the point kind of being, to answer your question around it, is that the offense wasn't really doing much anyway, and I think there's sort of it sort of fits the Steelers' mindset, I guess. They have nothing to lose in a way, and they're kind of going out there and, forgive the pun, winging it right now. And and I think, Hodges was certainly a little more in the intangible that would fit better with what the offense is doing right now.
Is there any chance that Tomlin makes a change at that position with these last 2 games and the playoffs kind of hanging in the balance?
Yeah, he wouldn't commit to it, so I suppose there is a chance. I think when he first made the move he made the move during a game in Cincinnati, and Hodges led the comeback victory, and And, you know, he said he was very particular about saying that when the next week's game, that it was only a one-game thing. It was against Cleveland at home. He wasn't going to commit to it beyond that. He wouldn't commit to anything after this game either. So there is a chance, but I don't know how much. Again, the offense wasn't doing much under Mason Rudolph. I wouldn't be shocked, I guess, if Tomlin did pull the trigger on that. But at the same time, I don't anticipate it, because it would be sort of a little bit jarring here with two games to go in the season and them kind of fighting for their playoff lives here, that to do that, especially whenever it wasn't like, you know, Rudolph had a pretty big, well, a much bigger sample size than Hodges has shown, and really didn't do too much with it with the Steelers offense in terms of point production.
Mm. Chris Adamski with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Tribune. You tweeted about the fact that a lot of Bills fans were there inside Heinz Field. How loud was it?
Yeah, it was really, you know, I mean, Steelers are known, you know, when the Steelers travel, for having a big contingent. Devlin Hodges' previous road starts were in Arizona and Los Angeles, and there was certainly, without question, more Steelers fans in those places than there were visiting teams. And it's pretty rare that you see a large contingent of visiting fans at Heinz Field. And, you know, without going back and thinking every game, and there's probably, you know, when you go back 19 years, and I wasn't in all those games, especially the early ones, so I can't say with the, you know, definitively it was the most visiting fans for a Steelers game here. But if it wasn't, it was close. And there was loud, you know, cheering after each of the scores, after the turnovers. Mm-hmm. At one point, late in the game, when the Steelers were driving to try to get that tying touchdown, the Bills bench was doing that, you know, noise, you know, going into the crowd, putting their palms up and moving their arms up, which is almost unthinkable here.
Wow.
And Ben Roethlisberger on the other side had to do the other opposite and put his hands down to get everybody to be quiet again. So that was something. It was certainly, I think, you know, the Bills fans are fired up. It's a second playoff berth here in 20 years, and they got a pretty good team, and they got a chance to knock out the Patriots next week.
The Pittsburgh Steelers took a lot of criticism when they traded away a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick after losing Ben Roethlisberger in the first month of the season. That defense has turned into a force. What have you seen with that transformation over the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'll wear that as much as anybody else. I thought it was a curious move at the time, and but you know, they at the time, even if worst case, if this season didn't work out, you have a guy on the signing bonus has already paid, so the salary cap, you have him on a low cap hit now for three more years this year and two more, and so, and they always evaluate, they liked him as a top 10 pick, so to get him for, even if it was going to be a top 10 pick, they didn't think it was a bad trade in that sense. And wow, I mean, the Steelers defense has been just, you know, dominated. It's kind of a shame from a Steelers perspective that they don't have, you know, the killer bees with this defense right now. They still have Le'Veon Bell in his prime and Antonio Brown in his prime and Ben Roethlisberger in his prime, you know, just for a few years ago when the defense was, you know, the defense got good there for a little bit, then Ryan Shazier injury happened and things like that. But you pair that with this, and you know, he's just been a perfect complement. They've the Steelers secondary. And the thing is, too, there's a lot of other new faces from this year compared to previous years. Steven Nelson has been a really great find in the free agent market. The Steelers aren't known for, you know, it's not unrestricted free agents, but he's been a perfect fit for them. And the secondary, Mark Barron's been pretty good at inside linebacker. Devin Bush, of course, was a top 10 pick to trade up for as a rookie. So he's not the only one, but, you know, even from those first 2 weeks and since, how dominant the Steelers defense has been. And Minkah, you can just tell his instincts. He finds the ball, and he's done it all season long since he's been here.
Chris Adamski of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. So I didn't realize this until tonight that Sean McDermott and Mike Tomlin were college teammates at William & Mary. Did Coach Tomlin have anything to say about McDermott this week or even after the game?
Yeah, they talked. I mean, they seem, you know, they definitely have a good relationship, and they have a lot of respect for each other. Another unknown fact, Dan Quinn, the Falcons coach, was on. Well, now he wasn't on the team, but he was a coach, assistant coach in that one of those teams, too, one of those years. So that's pretty remarkable for a smaller school like that. And they have two teammates that were, you know, that were teammates, and here they are NFL coaches a couple decades later. And they joked around with each other. You know, Mike said that, you could tell Sean was 2 years younger, but he was already more mature than me. And, you know, McDermott kind of laughed that off and said, no, I always looked up to Mike, you could tell. And McDermott went there as a walk-on. He turned himself into an all-conference a player in the secondary. And hey, I was actually, the fun part for me is I knew some of that, but to watch, you know, kind of in the retrospects, I saw some of the highlights. Mike Tomlin is back in the day for William and Mary. And what is that, the Patriot League? I don't even know for sure what it is. But, but yeah, it was kind of a neat story, especially for, you know, a school of, you know, of that. You know, we're not talking, you know, Alabama or anything like that.
Right.
So it's kind of neat to have two teammates, not even the same school, just two teammates to play together, coaching against each other in the NFL.
It's the Collegiate Athletic Association, the CAA.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, I'm not up on my FCS.
Oh, gosh. Well, they've changed. Yeah, I was going to say the conferences have been realigned so many times since they played. I'm sure it wasn't the CAA when they were there. The last time the Steelers were on a national stage, the game ended with that crazy brawl against the Browns. Actually, it wasn't NBC. I was listening to Westwood One. They made a bit of a quip about Maurkice Pouncey being nominated for the Man of the Year and wondering if that was because of his role in the brawl. Is there any fallout remaining from what happened a few weeks ago?
Well, it was, you know, in one of those kind of quirks, they did play the Browns 2 weeks later. And, you know, and maybe even I imagine the NFL made sure that whatever suspension, and it was initially a 3-game suspension to Pouncey, they knocked it down to 2 on appeal. I imagine if that Browns game was 3 weeks later, they would have left it at 3 weeks just to sort of, you know, let everything calm down a little bit more. And, you know, there's definitely will be, I'm sure there'll be repercussions going into next year. And, you know, that's kind of, that's one of the things, you know, almost before my time, pretty much, I guess before my time, I could say the Steelers and Browns was the big rivalry. And pretty much, you know, unless you're, you know, over 40, you don't know that that's the, you know, around here it's been Ravens the past couple decades, and we had the Bengals there for about 5 or 6 years earlier this decade, actually, where it was simmering. That was a feud, and it looks like it could be Browns now. And, you know, that's Maurkice Pouncey. He's always been that way. He's a real gregarious, laughable, he's always smiling. No matter where he goes, and he had a lot of fun with that too, getting the Man of the Year. And he's aware enough. He's like, you bet you guys didn't think I'd get this whenever last time you saw him in the field, you know, something like that. So, I'm sure whenever that schedule comes out, it'll be circled. And I bet you NBC or somebody, it'll be a national game because, or maybe it won't be. Maybe the NFL won't want it. That was the rumor around here too. They moved the game from 4:15 to 1 p.m. the Steelers Browns game because they didn't want to have any shenanigans on for everybody to see. So, but it'll be noted. Trust me, I'm sure, especially in Cleveland where Pittsburgh's kind of their white whale.
No doubt. Well, the way to get the last laugh is to make the playoffs with the Browns on the outside looking in. And right now, Pittsburgh does sit in the number 6 seed, but they still have 2 road games and no margin for error. You can follow Chris on Twitter at @C_Adamski_Trib. And you can find what he writes, what he believes, what he thinks, his opinions on TribLive.com about the Steelers. Chris, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Merry Christmas to you.
Anytime. You too, Amy. Merry Christmas to you and everybody else, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.